You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, so Frank Vogel will stop by at 4:15, and we're giving away $1,800 at 4:30. So make sure you're tuning in for all that. But I will say this. I did see your picture. I didn't see it. Now, I had a really busy day yesterday, okay? I was normally on Sunday, Cap. It's not this busy. It's usually very chill. But I had a game yesterday. So I was up early doing work for the game, right? Like getting ready. You know this. You work on game broadcasts. Like, you got a lot of stuff to do. I had to interview Steph Curry. Like, I had things to do. So I saw your picture in your bike gear and you, in this very Tour de France look that you have going on.
That's right. And I
did not respond to it. I am guilty as charged.
Yeah, because you're lame, dude. You're lame. Bergman's lame. LZ's definitely lame. In fact, the L in LZ stands for lame. I mean, come on. What's up with you guys? I'm like, yo, it's a beautiful day.
You tweet too much. It's gorgeous. Let's just be real.
It's a gorgeous day.
You tweet too much.
It's nice out. What are you guys up to? You could have very easily snapped a picture with some notes in front of you. Bergman could have snapped a picture of him sitting in his apartment watching some show. You know, Laura was out there hiking this weekend. LZ is somewhere glistening. No love whatsoever. Yeah. No playfulness of any kind. Okay. What's up with everybody?
Okay. You wanted a picture of my couch? I mean, I could have taken a picture of my couch.
Well,
you know,
boring.
I got to tell you something. Thank goodness all the listeners out there were really cool about it. They're like, here's what I'm doing. I'm out on the golf course. Here's somebody else going, hey, here's what I'm doing. I'm out for a run. For those of you that jumped in, nice to hang with you. Everybody else here, a little lame.
Yeah, no, just... I mean, I don't know. I don't like taking pictures, number one. I'm really bad at Instagram. Like, there's that. And by the way, there is a study that shows that men who post a lot of selfies are more likely to be psychopaths.
Scott.
Damn.
That's from ScienceDirect.com.
Hold on. Let me marinate on that for a moment. Let me marinate for a minute here. Mm-hmm. Let me swirl it around a little bit. Let me give it a little bit of thought here.
Yeah. There's white walls around you? You all right?
There's a study that says that guys who pose in selfies are more likely to be psychotic?
Men who post a lot of selfies are more likely to be psychopaths, it says. Mm. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I know I'm not the most stable human being. I got it. But I'm generally relatively normal compared to, I think, 95% of the population out there.
Yeah.
Unless you ask my ex-wife. Don't ask her.
Yeah, this study is up here. It's a personality and individuals study. And it says here, the dark triad and trait of self-objectification as predictors of men's use and self-presentations behaviors on social networking sites. So it's literally about you.
Wait, whoa, hold on. Hold on a second, George Sedano.
Yeah.
I'm not that much of a selfie person. I was really just taking a picture of it's a beautiful day.
A lot of pictures, bro.
All right, but hold on. There's another
person. Let's go through your Twitter. There's a lot of
person.
Selfies.
Hold on. There's another person on this crew. And that is Chris Morales. Yeah. That guy, you talk about posting selfies. Hey, I'm at Black Gold. Hey, I'm smoking a cigar. Yeah. Look at me, I'm playing golf.
Here's the difference. We know he's a psychopath.
Well, this is why the question was posed. What are you guys up to this weekend? Let's see it. You guys weren't playing around with me.
I didn't have to post a picture. I just commented back.
There you go, Laura.
I'm just saying, no picture was necessary, guys.
I mean, I was busy. I had things to do.
We get it. You're interviewing LeBron. Now, let me ask you a question, George Sedano. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
So I saw something on Twitter last night.
Right.
Where
LeBron tweeted it. Yes.
Okay. So LeBron is sitting down courtside after the game.
Correct.
And LeBron has his headset on because he's about to do a post-game interview. You're right.
Correct. With me. Yes.
Right. And then Steph Curry comes up to say hello to LeBron.
Correct. And you, or goodbye, like, in this case. It was after the game, yes.
And believe me, this happens to me all the time on NFL broadcasts. I'm standing by. I'm like, hold on. He's almost done. He's saying goodbye to this guy. He's exchanging jerseys with that guy. Wait, now he's praying. Okay, he's done praying. Okay, I got him.
Yeah.
So you're about to interview LeBron.
Yeah.
And Curry comes over to say, great game.
Yeah.
LeBron takes the headset off and hugs it out. And I hear a voice.
Yes.
Right, and I hear a voice say, okay, we'll do it all over again. I did not recognize that it was your voice until later in the evening when I was watching SportsCenter and I saw your interview with LeBron.
Right.
So I got the tweet and didn't know it was you until later when I saw it all play out on SportsCenter. What happened?
We have the audio. So here, I will set this up. So the game was over because we had to get to SportsCenter. So we were taping it for SportsCenter. And because we were taping it, because I've been in those positions before. Now, normally in those positions, I've been there on the floor with them, right? Where I can stop and I can see exactly what's happening. But while I'm interviewing LeBron, I'm looking at my camera mostly and trying not to look at the monitor, right? So I don't see that Steph is coming. All I see is LeBron. I hear LeBron taking his headset off. Then I look at my monitor and see that. And then I was kind of wrapping up my question when he took it off. But so I said, oh, we should start over again. And he didn't need it. He just went right into his answer, which was fascinating because he heard enough of it that he knew where I was going. But you can play the audio. Sure, go ahead.
Favorite right now. You're the leader of this team. How important was it for you guys to set the tone early? All right, we'll do it again.
All right, you see, it was the mask, dude. Now that I just heard it, I can understand why I didn't hear that it was your voice. I can hear the muffle of the mask. Now, let me ask you a quick question because I'm curious about this, and I'm guessing that probably a lot of viewers and now 710 listeners are probably curious. Are you in the arena? Are you not able to get anywhere nearby? Where exactly are you?
I'm
How's
in
this
the
happening?
Arena. Yeah, okay, I'm in ahead. The arena. Mike Trudell and I are in a very similar position. Like, he's literally like 10 feet away from me. We are above the 100 level at Staples Center on the same area, in the same area where the radio and TV broadcasts are generally, which is above the first level of seating, except Mike and I are kind of off to the side, like in the corner of the, you know, the right, I would say opposite the Lakers bench is where Mike and I are.
Okay. So, you're there, you're in the arena. And I'm just curious because we talked about last week you were at Indiana and you said there were some fans there, right?
There were fans in Indiana, yes.
I think you said 2,300 last week.
Correct.
Okay. How many people do you think in total, estimate, how many people are in Staples for a Laker game?
Probably maybe less than 200 or 300.
Yeah. What's that sound like?
I mean, there's nobody there from a fan perspective. They're just employees, like people working the game.
Yeah, I'm saying, what's it sound like?
I mean, it doesn't sound like anything. None of
just
those people
silent,
are cheering.
Just like the squeaking of the floor, and that's it?
Yeah, they're there for work. I mean, they're pumping in like fake crowd noise. That's pretty much the deal.
Yeah, that was funny though last night, George. I saw that all play out. I saw it on Twitter. Like I said, I didn't recognize your voice at first, and now that I hear it, I realize that maybe it was the mask that was muffling you, which, by the way, why do you have to wear a mask when you're so far away?
Because everyone in the building needs to wear a mask. It's kind of the rules.
Yeah, I just figure, you know, LeBron's not at that point.
I mean, what are you, Dr. Fauci all of a sudden, that you know when we should wear masks or not? I mean, what the hell?
I don't know if I'm Dr. Fauci. I'm just asking questions. I find it fascinating. I missed that it was you. Then I saw it play it on SportsCenter.
It was funny.
It was awesome.
Like, I have had a lot of fun moments and funny moments while doing this the last 4 years, and that was one of them, because again, normally if I'm on the floor, I see Steph coming, you know what I mean, like or LeBron walks away from me and I'm assuming in my head, oh, he's gonna say hi to somebody. So there, you know, that's happened a million times over, you know what I mean? But when you're so far away, I didn't know what was happening. But it was funny, and I thought he wanted to do it over again, but clearly he did not. He powered right through, which is why LeBron is a champ in so many ways.
Well, listen, I will tell you this. After four straight losses and all of the talk about how tired the Lakers are and how maybe they won't even win another game before the All-Star break, and LeBron should be resting and watching his minutes because these games in advance of the All-Star break are not going to be as important as what happens down the stretch. All of that was the dialogue last week, and I don't know what happened. I don't know where all the energy came from. I would like to give a lot of the credit to Dennis Schroeder's return, which is something we talked about on Friday. And all of a sudden, these two straight wins, I've gone from that emotional wreck state to, okay, all right, things look like they're kind of getting back to normal. And we'll talk to Frank Vogel about it coming up in a few minutes.
So this is going to be interesting because I've already talked to Frank Vogel yesterday. So I haven't talked to him after the Warriors game, but like, I kind of know the answers to all those things. Do you want me to tell you the answers, or do you want to wait to ask him?
I'm thinking now. Give me a second.
You should wait
here.
To ask him. Greg, right? He should wait to ask him. Like, yes. I shouldn't fill the gaps for Frank because I'm like a cheat code right now because I've spoken to Frank about 24 hours ago.
You don't want to play the Frank role right now.
No, why would I? He's going to be on in a couple minutes.
I'm with you. Listen, I think it's great. I think it's great that he's coming on. Looking forward to chatting with him.
Have you spoken to Frank before?
I have never spoken to Frank.
He's unbelievable. Like, just like such a nice person.
Well, I mean, he's an interesting guy. I'll tell you that. I mean, I didn't know about that David Letterman video until you mentioned it last week. Mm-hmm. And I went back and watched it again today because
he's probably been asked that one about 7,000 times, though. So I would avoid that one.
I understand. I understand. Yeah. But I mean, I can tell you this. I'm not the
only
person in America.
Unless you got a different spin on it. Do you got a different spin on it?
I'm not the only person in America that hasn't seen it. Okay. I'm not the only person that didn't know anything about it. And by the way, I'm not even so sure I really plan on going there. But it was definitely fun to watch.
Like, you know, I want you to I find you to be someone who's very curious. I want you to also come at him with something that's going to be different, right? Like, I don't want you to give him the same question he's had 7,000 times because then he's just going to give you the same answer he's given 7,000 times. Mm-hmm. I'm looking out for you.
I appreciate that. I do. I have a bunch of stuff I'd like to get to him about. We'll see how far we can get into this.
Oh, you know what? His kids play high school sports. I know you're big into that right now.
I am. How old are his kids, you know?
They're in high school, so I don't know. They're teenagers, I presume.
I mean, I wonder if they're in this impact zone of the junior senior year, you know, where you're trying to play sports and you're trying to get recruited.
His girls play. I think they play soccer. I want to say, but I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But we could ask him about just high school sports because he has kids in high school. Yeah,
cool.
Well, and obviously, we will talk to him. My opinion. If you're asking, this is not what Frank would say. I don't know. Maybe he would. But my opinion is Dennis Schroeder plays a huge role in this. Mm-hmm. Like, Dennis Schroeder is, outside of LeBron, I think one of the few guys that can create his own shot on this team. I think that he takes the burden off of LeBron in a number of ways, including having to be the point guard all the time. And I think LeBron playing off the ball is actually something that is probably relieving to him in some cases because – on every team he's been on previous to this iteration, he's gotten to kind of share that responsibility where, you know, when he was tired of having the ball in his hands, you know, there was Kyrie or Dwayne Wade or, you know what I'm saying? Like, there were people. This team doesn't have – or last year's team didn't have very many of those guys. And this team's only has really Schroeder. So I do think Dennis helps. And it also frees him up, I think, to play better defense too, perhaps.
Well, listen, Frank's coming up. Looking forward to chatting with him. Really looking forward to asking a bunch of stuff that maybe is not necessarily just pure basketball. I figure let's get to the pure basketball stuff. Yeah. And then let's see how much time we've got left and how far we can get into this. I'm pretty stoked to talk to him.
All right. We're going to do that. Next, he's going to come up. So we will talk to Frank Vogel in about 3 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sedano, LZ, and Cap with you here. LZ out today. Just me and Cap. Frank Vogel's going to join us any second now. Laura will let me know when he's there. I did see this interesting fact today on Uber Facts, and it says, on average, people who get out of bed at 7 a.m., perform better at work, tend to be happier, less stressed, and thinner. Kaplan, are you an early riser?
Very early riser. Every day. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is. Doesn't matter what time of night I went to sleep. Very early riser. How about you?
Not me. I like to get up after 7 a.m. for sure. Occasionally, I will get up before then if I just, you know, when my body naturally wakes up. But that's what I try to do. I try to sleep until my body says, all right, I'm good. Because occasionally, I will wake up and fall right back asleep. So as long as I'm still falling right back asleep, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that looks on Instagram and sees, like, do you know any of these, like, former Navy SEALs? Have you ever seen a guy named Jocko Willink? Have you ever seen him?
No, I don't know who Jocko is.
Yeah, he's a former Navy SEAL. He's become, like, kind of an Instagram influencer. Or do you know who David Goggins is?
No.
Okay. Well, listen.
I don't spend very much time on Instagram.
Okay. Well, I will tell you this. I see a lot of your children on Instagram, and that's how I get to keep up with your familia.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it. Like,
but I see some of these like Navy SEALs, they'll like put their watch on and they'll go, it's 4:30 in the morning. What are you doing? And I'm like, okay, I guess I better get going.
Yeah. No, hell with that, dude. Yeah. What about Laura? Laura, what time are you getting up?
I get up around 6:30 in the morning.
Damn, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up early. Get that day going, especially on a Monday morning. I saw your tweet early this morning. It was like, yo, what up, people? It's Monday. Let's get this thing fired up.
Is that what you tweeted, Laura?
Something like that. She tweeted something.
Sorry,
like
guys.
That.
I just got Frank Vogel on the line. Oh, so okay. He's more important than you guys.
He is more important than us. There's no question. The Lakers have won two in a row. The head coach of your world champion Los Angeles Lakers, friend of the program, Frank Vogel, joins us now here. Frank, I was just telling the guys that he dropped.
Yeah, he just dropped.
Oh, okay.
So oh, he's back.
There he is.
I want to know what time he wakes up.
Yeah. Frank, are you there?
I am here, yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. I was just telling the crew that you know it's a good game for you when you don't have to talk to me in the third quarter. Hell, you wouldn't have to have talked to me in the first quarter yesterday.
That's always the plan with these national televised games. Like, if we could just get up 30 by the end of the third, then I don't have to do that in-game interview, and everything's just easier that way.
How much do you hate talking to us in that scenario? And I know you're a nice guy, so you will do whatever it takes to do whatever, you know, the league wants and the partners want. But I know you guys hate talking to us in the middle of a game.
It's good for the big picture, right? It's good for the game. You know, it's good for the fans to have that type of access. But, you know, obviously when you're in that moment and, you know, the quarter comes to a close, all you're thinking about is your rotations and what sets you want to run come out to start the fourth. And you're just thinking about winning the game. So it is a little bit of a distraction. But, you know, again, just keep the big picture in mind. It's just part of the job.
The funny thing is, I always end up, sometimes it happens with you, but it feels like my biggest nightmare, and it happens regularly, is like your team is up, and then all of a sudden you blow a lead, and now you're like trailing or it's tied, and I got to deal with an upset version of you or whoever is coaching in that scenario. I feel like that happens all the time. So if it happens again when it's you and me, just be aware I didn't do that, okay? That was your team who did that.
I'm going to take it out on you, George. I'm going to go straight Coach Popovich on you next time, you know, we lose a lead and you're right in front of me like that.
Listen, I got Popovich to crack a couple of years ago and laugh, okay? That is a rare occurrence. So, but, Scott, can you ask Frank what we were talking about with Sean McVay the other day? We were talking about dancing, Coach Vogel. So I want Scott to ask you the question that we posed to McVay.
Well, Coach, good afternoon. It's great to talk to you for the first time. How are you today?
Good, Scott. How you doing?
Doing really great, Coach. Thank you very much. So Raheem Morris is the new defensive coordinator of the Rams. He came on the air. He told us Sean McVay is a great dancer. We bring Sean on. He tells us a couple of vodkas, he's a great dancer. We ask the question, if you could dance, what do you say?
A couple of beers, I'm a good dancer.
There we go.
Same answer. Yeah, same answer. You know, if I'm at a wedding or something like that, yeah, I'll bust into some moves. But I'm not a great dancer overall, no.
No, wedding dancer, though. Wedding dancer.
When you won the championship, did you get down a little bit?
No. No, we were in a bubble. There's no party. We had a little restaurant. That's it. There was no major celebration.
Well, Coach, let me ask you this, though. Let me jump right into it, because what I'm curious about is this. When Anthony Davis goes out, and you guys now know it's going to be a while, do you have to sit down with the assistant coaches and kind of go back to the drawing board of, well, what do we do? How do we adjust? What do we have? And how do we go about winning games? I mean, can you just talk us through what happens on the realization that Anthony Davis isn't going to be with you for a while and then having to make changes to the lineup?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what you do. You know, you have to adjust. You have a few different ways you can go with your lineups and, you know, your style of play and whatnot. And the number one thing that comes to mind, obviously, is making sure that, you know, we don't put too much of it on LeBron or on any one player, you know, to try to pick up the slack. You know, it's got to be a team effort. But you do go through the, you know, the different scenarios you can do. You can go with your starting lineup and how you're going to use rotation and what, you know, how guys' roles are going to change. So we came out of the gates with one way. We lost a few in a row. We shifted and, you know, we got beaten at that Utah game. But the last two have been pretty good.
All right. Frank, as far as like making these changes to the lineup and you know, hey, here's a starting rotation. Things aren't going so well. Let's start over here and see what we got. Is it remotely predictable at all?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, you have a way that you think you can win. And, you know, when you see it play out on the floor, you know, you see some areas that present problems. You know, one of the problems I felt like with the first three games is we were playing a nine-man rotation, and I felt like I wanted to go a little deeper than that. You know, so, you know, that's what the shift in the starting lineup really triggered is trying to go one more deep. So, you know, hopefully we were shooting the ball so poorly, you know, so hopefully – you know, getting another guy in there and shrinking guys' minutes a little bit, and the rotations down a little bit, would just help us stay a little more fresh than we looked in some of those games.
Frank Vogel, the head coach of your world champion Los Angeles Lakers, with us here on 710 ESPN. So obviously having Schroeder has been a huge lift for you guys. But I noticed yesterday you were staggering him and LeBron some. What went into that, Frank?
Yeah, it was a game one plan with Dennis coming back, where, you know, obviously we've been struggling with the lineups when LeBron's out of the game. And, you know, obviously using Dennis in those minutes would be beneficial. But at the same time, he hadn't been on a court for a week or so. So we were concerned about his legs and conditioning. So, you know, the coaching staff and I just discussed potentially using a short first sub for him, for Dennis. You know, get him out there before the seven-minute mark, and then bring him back for LeBron, you know, so he can be fresh in those minutes when LeBron's out. And, you know, the first two games we've done that, it's looked pretty good. So we'll probably stick with it for now.
Coach, I want to ask you about LeBron and minutes. You know, when the losing streak was happening, the one thing people were saying was LeBron's playing too much. And my question is, you know, can you sit him? I mean, what goes into his playing or not playing? Do you guys talk about it before games? I'm just curious. Because it's got to be kind of a weird position. Like, dude, I think you need to sit, but he says, I don't want to sit.
No, it's a group decision. You know what I mean? Like, if we feel like he needs to sit, and, you know, we can talk to him and talk to the medical team and all come up with a group decision that we all agree with, you know, then that can be the right thing to do. But if he's feeling well and wants to play, we're going to have him out there. And, you know, we trust him. He knows his body more than anyone. Mike Nancias, the medical team, knows his body more than anyone. And if there's a reason to sit, he'll sit. But if there's not, then we expect him to, you know, he wants to be in there, and we're going to welcome him being in there. And I just think it's such a great example for, you know, not only the rest of his teammates, but, you know, I think the younger generation, you know, of this league, you know, as you've seen a lot of teams move towards guys sitting out and missing a lot of games, you know, I just think he's such a great example. So, we make these decisions as a group. He's always open-minded to hear everyone's perspective, as are we, to hear his perspective. And like I said, we make these decisions as a group.
Frank Vogel joining us here. Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
Well, Frank, I think it's really super interesting to hear you talk about that, because I think a lot of us have a perception. Like, you just can't tell him what to do or when to sit, but it sounds like it's a collaboration amongst the entire team.
No, it absolutely is. You know, and we've had a great partnership. You know, I think since LeBron's been here, beginning with Rob Plink and Kurt Rambis and LeBron, and then myself and my coaching staff since we got here, to just talk these things out and see what makes sense. And, you know, when you collaborate and you make group decisions, usually you're moving things in the right direction, and you're making pretty smart decisions with things. So, you know, it's a great process that's worked for us this far, and we'll continue to do so.
Frank, you've won two in a row since the four-game losing streak. The Jazz game, though, like, how do you deal with that after? Do you just throw that one away? Do you put yourself through the misery of watching it again as a group? Like, how does that work?
You know, if we had practice scheduled, we would have watched it as a group and just looked at ways we could have been better. You know, we always remove the result of the game from our film sessions. You know, like, let's just look at, you know, sort of what happened. Look at how well we executed our habits, you know, some things tactically we could do differently, and let's try to grow from this game, regardless of whether we won, we lost, we won big, we lost big. It doesn't really matter. You know, this was a situation where after the overtime game and traveling, I felt like our team was fatigued, so I gave them off the next day and the next morning off of, you know, leading into the Portland game. To try to just come into that game as fresh as possible with our minds and with our bodies. And, you know, all we really said about that Utah game is we sucked last game. Let's put it behind us and let's beat Portland. And, you know, sometimes that's the right approach. Sometimes it's not. But that's what we did in that game. We were able to get the job done versus the Blazers.
Can you give me I'm going to play. We're going to do a little role play here because I didn't get a chance to talk to you yesterday in game. But my guy Dave Pasch got the greatest answer from you in that Portland game in the third quarter. And I want you to recreate that. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. I'm Dave Pasch. And Frank Vogel, Lakers head coach for this year. You know, Frank, Portland has, you know, you've taken the lead here in this situation. What's the key to winning the game the rest of the way here?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think you said, what's the key to winning the fourth quarter? And my answer was simple. I should have pulled down my mask to show a smile because, like, you know, with the mask, you don't really get to show your true emotions. So, you know, it was said in jest, but we got to slow down Dame Dollar. That's what it comes down. We know he's going to have the ball. So that's the guy we got to slow down.
And I loved obvious, it. I was sitting on my couch howling of laughter. They were, too, on the broadcast because of the way you said it. Now, you didn't have to take the mask off because I could just tell with the way your face moved and your eyes moved that you were having a ball with that. But you were right, but also you nailed it. Like, that to me, I want you to give everybody's nickname every time you do that. Like, I feel like that could be your move.
Well, it was almost like, hey, let's state the obvious here. We got to slow down that guy.
Right.
Period.
Hey, Frank, let me talk to you about something that's non-Laker, non-basketball. You ready?
Okay.
All right. George told me, because I've been a big proponent of the Let Them Play California movement, and happy to see that high school sports are coming back. George tells me you have some high school athletes in the family. Is that right?
I do, yes.
Can we hear a little bit more about who, what they play, et cetera?
Yeah, I have two daughters that play soccer and one potentially playing lacrosse. At our local high school, and they've been out all year, and they're just now talking about. We actually have a meeting tomorrow night about the resumption of play and what that's all going to look like. So we're really excited about it. I think it's long overdue, and I'll be excited to see to be able to go and watch some soccer games hopefully soon.
How old are the girls, and what grades are they in?
I have a junior and freshman.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
17, just turned 17 and 14.
And are they club soccer players as well or high school players?
Well, yeah, they both play club, but, the way, with the pandemic, there's always, certain restrictions. And, I think they're going to be put in a position where they have to choose one or the other, because obviously you don't want, your athletes playing with a certain group of players, and potentially being exposed to the virus and then bringing that back to your team group. So, there's some restrictions there, some tough decisions, and that's kind of what we're going through in our household right now.
Oh, dude, I know, man. I've been there. Well, not through the pandemic, but I've had a daughter who played high school soccer, club soccer, went on to play college soccer, and just, I mean, it's the greatest thing ever. Like, I thought, oh, my God, I've got three daughters. I need to have a boy to play some sports. But I'm telling you, watching your girls play sports, I mean, it was like my favorite thing to do. I don't know how much you must love it as well, but and especially going from coach to father and fan.
Yeah, I don't miss a game if I'm in town or if I can be there. I'm going to be there, and it's been that way since they were, 4 and 6 years old. It is just one of the most enjoyable things in my life, and something I miss very dearly.
Frank Vogel with us here. Last thing before we let you go, we were making fun of Scott because he occasionally takes one too many selfies for my liking personally.
That is not true, Coach. That is not true.
It is. It's fine.
It's not true, Coach.
He won't admit it. It's fine. It's okay. Frank Vogel, are you a selfie guy at all or no?
I would say minimally. Okay. I think if I'm in a place where I want to send a picture to my wife and daughters of, hey, look where I'm at. I might take a selfie in those situations.
Right.
I do take, when I'm taking pictures of myself and my daughters, or myself and my wife, I do think the selfie is more appropriate than you handing your phone to somebody to take your picture.
Especially now.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
That's the right way to do it.
Very effective.
And I'll throw this 2 cents into the selfie that nobody does autographs anymore. There's no autographs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The modern day autograph is can I get a picture with you? So, you get selfies in those situations. Of course, pre-pandemic. Right now, it's like, let's be, stand 6 feet apart. if you want my picture, you stand over there. The camera taker, the picture taker stands over there. Yeah, you know, those types of things. So,
dude, it's funny because I was at the airport doing a game, doing your game in the preseason against Phoenix, and I ran into Charles Barkley. And even with a mask on, he didn't even care about 6 feet. People were asking him, he'd still do it. I was like, Charles, you're a better man than me, bro. I am not pulling that off. But good Lord, but yeah, I am with you there, Coach. Yeah. Always a pleasure, man. Thank you for making time for us. Best of luck, continued success, and we'll talk to you down the line soon. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks. Take care.
Thanks, Frank.
You got it. There he is. Frank Vogel, head coach of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here's what we're going to do, Cap. We're just going to do the contest right now. Laura, are you ready to hit the contest right now? Congrats to Matt Figueroa from Whittier. You are our Mission 18 grand prize winner and have won $1,800 in cold, hard cash. En efectivo. So congratulations to Matt Figueroa. You win 1,800 bones.
That is awesome. It's brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. Visit sweetjames.com.
All right.
There you go.
There you go. Look at that.
So you know what we didn't get to talk to Frank Vogel about? Tell me if you've ever talked to him about this, because, you know, talking to him about brushing his teeth with a basketball that everybody thinks everybody in the world has seen, but we haven't. Have you ever asked him if he's ever gotten into horse racing because of his relationship with Rick Pitino?
No, but you can ask him that next time.
Next time for sure. That's something I definitely wanted to get into. You know, George, I've had the chance to get to know Pitino because he joined our horse racing group. You know, I think I've told you about this before. Right? Take 20 people. Everybody puts in money. We buy all these horses. We race them all summer. And then we sell them and we give everybody their money back. And Pitino joins our group every year. And he loves horse racing.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if Frank, given his background with Pitino, has ever gotten into it, and his background in Kentucky.
Yeah, maybe. You never know, right? I mean, you know the story of how I hooked up with Pitino, right, Vogel, or no?
I'm not sure I know the story exactly.
Wrote him a letter.
Oh, right, because he was at a small school in, like, New York or New Jersey or someplace in the Northeast, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he wound up transferring to Kentucky, as I recall.
Yeah, he wrote him a letter to get a job there, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've read that story a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he might, you know, Pitino is obviously huge into the horse racing after all those years in Kentucky. But, yeah, Vogel told us the story. I think that when he was, I'm trying to remember, he had some sort of connection with, like, Jordan and Pitino when Pitino was playing in the NBA. He told me the story once. I just don't remember off the top of my head right now. But nonetheless, Frank has got... You know, a lot of these guys in sports, when you think about it, particularly coaches, when you've gotten to this level, you've been on multiple staffs throughout the years, right? Working your way up as a scout, as an assistant, you know, video guy, whatever it is, right? And you come across so many different people that you have a bazillion stories. So it's just about really just finding the right story. But he might be into horse racing. I don't know.
But you see, the thing I find interesting about a guy like Frank Vogel, or I know a guy like you've covered, Eric Spoelstra, is this ascent to where you become a head coach, but not just a head coach. You become a head coach of a championship caliber team, but your playing career was not necessarily what you would call decorated per se, right? You weren't all American and lottery pick.
They were, you know, college basketball players, right?
They were good ball players. They played well in high school. They had a, you know, kind of a college career, but they were just more prepared to be a coach rather than a player, because physically they didn't have necessarily what it took, but they had the desire and the passion for the game and the smarts for the game. But what fascinates me is guys who can come up through the ranks who will do all these jobs that you're talking about, scouting, film room. I mean, you just, most guys in the NFL, George, go from player, they get out of playing, they either get into broadcasting or they're immediately thrust into some entry-level coaching position. Some guys, if they've got the name and the history, might be able to get a position coach and then elevate quickly to coordinator and even head coach. But generally, it's because you had an NFL playing career. Very few guys didn't have NFL playing careers.
Well, Belichick didn't.
No, that's a good example. But another example would be like a guy like Pete Carmichael, who's the offensive coordinator of New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
He didn't have a career. Carmichael was a baseball player in college and worked his way into an NFL elevated.
I'll give you an example. Phil Jackson and Pat Riley are two of the most successful NBA coaches in NBA history. And neither of them were great NBA players. Like, you know, both guys were great in college, and, you know, they were role players, basically, in the NBA.
But they were NBA players.
Right.
You know, it's not like, you know, Frank Vogel was small college player, transferred to Kentucky, and as I recall reading the story, if anybody can find this on Google, is, you know, he couldn't play on Kentucky's team, but Patino put in a junior varsity team, you know, and Vogel apparently, according to the story that I had read, played on that. But so again, to go from very humble playing background to do anything you can do inside of an organization to learn, to elevate, et cetera, to then get to a point where you become an NBA head coach and have some success like he did in Indiana, and now to have the plum of all jobs in pro sports, you're managing LeBron and the Lakers. And I think it's really, really cool. And I think it was also really interesting to hear him talk about when they've got to regroup, when they know AD's out and they got to come up with who's the starting lineup. Well, that's not working. Let's try something else. Let's get this guy in there. Maybe he can give us 13 points. See Markieff Morris. I mean, it's really interesting to hear.
We could talk about that a little bit on the other side. Also, we can react to kind of some of the stuff Frank said. But real quick, I want to congratulate our guy here. Matt Figueroa from Whittier is our Mission 18 grand prize winner. Won $1,800 in cash. Matt, congratulations, bro.
Yeah, thank you.
Dude.
Thank you, guys. What's going on, guys?
Dude, $1,800, big ones. I remember when you won. Was it last week? I don't remember. Did you win 180 or 360? I don't remember exactly how much money you won.
It was 180. It was last Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I was tuned in. I was tuned in, ready to go today. So pumped, guys. Oh, man.
$1,800.
What are you going to do with the cash?
I am going to put it into savings. My wife and I are trying to save up for a home right now, so that's going straight to savings. We'll celebrate a little bit, but most of it's going to savings.
Yeah, man. Congratulations on that. Yeah, I know, man. Put it in some Bitcoin too. You know, I mean, I'm not giving I'm not giving you financial advice, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, look to invest if you can too.
That would have been great advice when Bitcoin was at like 10,000. Now that it's like 50,000, you know.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
it's taking off right now. That's for sure.
Yeah. Matt, congratulations again, brother, on winning the 180 and now winning the grand prize of 1800. You and your wife, best of luck with the house, and thank you for being such a loyal listener.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys day in and day out. You guys are the best.
Thank you, Matt.
ESPN.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much.
There you go.
All right, we got a winner. All right,
that's cool,
coming up
man.
Next, let's react to Vogel. Also, some big news in the NFL, and it's going to affect the Rams in a big way. We'll get to that coming up in about 4.5 minutes. So we found out Frank Vogel will dance after a few beers.
At a wedding. Mm-hmm.
But not a normal dancer. You know, not like a regular, type to cut up a rug. Not his deal. So
I've been learning some new moves, just so you know, George.
Oh, yeah?
I've been learning some new moves. I've been working on them. And Unique, you'll be happy to know this, Laura. I've been learning some new moves on the Peloton with Cody Rigsby. And he's like one of the instructors who is just – every class is, hey, come on, we're in a club, yo. And then he just starts busting moves, and I'm just learning is what I'm doing.
From the Peloton guy?
That's right.
Okay.
Anybody who's on a Peloton who knows Cody knows what I'm talking about.
You need a Latina, man. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, for real, bro.
Or a Latino. I mean, you know. Or actually, you know what, Greg? You didn't do so bad. So Greg can help out.
See, there you go. Have you taken your video yet, Scott?
We
all need this. How have we not done this yet?
All right, I'll work on it.
Because
you've been working on it for like 4 days. I mean,
that's true. You're right.
We just need to know if you've got anything or not, you know, and then we can judge you and either congratulate you or mock you. This is how it goes. It's very simple. Enough.
It needs to be done by tomorrow when LZ's here. Yeah. He needs to be able to see this.
I think LZ is probably the best judge of my dance moves.
I mean, listen, maybe your dance video sells for millions of dollars, like these digital art things I'm seeing or the NBA Top Shot stuff that I'm seeing out there.
I don't know what that is, NBA Top Shot. Can you explain that? Because let me tell you something. And I know we said we were going to get back to football and how it affects the Rams, but I don't know what NBA Top Shot is.
It's Top Shot. It's basically very similar to digital art, where a lot of pieces are being sold, even though you can find this anywhere. The original is selling for an enormous amount of dollars, right? So, for example, let's just take yesterday, a LeBron slam dunk, right? Let's just use that as an example. Mm-hmm. LeBron dunks the ball. You get the digital video of that, but the original, right? There are only X amount of originals available, and based on how many originals are available, that's where the market price is. Now, that same video can play on the internet 7 bazillion times, but you own the original, and it's basically just a collector's item. It's just another aspect to collectibles. It's just a digital version of it, as opposed to when you and I were little kids and we had trading cards, although trading cards are back too, because I saw Luka Doncic just rookie card from Panini goes for like $4 billion recently.
Yeah, this whole NBA top, what's it called?
Top Shot.
Don't know it. And I really don't. And I'm being serious. Like, I don't understand. Who's shooting the video?
Well, the video is an original video from whoever, you know, whether it's the NBA or, Getty or whoever the original photographer for those particular moments are.
But how does the person who is the subject of the shot or the video, that person doesn't receive any compensation?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Yeah, I got to learn more about this. Yeah. Don't know much about it.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Digital art is a thing, too. There was a story this afternoon about an artist in Miami, Pablo Rodriguez, who spent $67,000 on a 10-second video artwork that he could have watched free online, like I said. He sold it for $6.6 million this week. $6.6
million! Wow. That's crazy.
100 times what he paid for it.
That is crazy. Seriously. Yeah. Like, I mean, I really, really, really got to dig in because I don't understand it.
Maybe people out there have a better idea and can help us at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776 on whether it's digital art or this NBA Top Shot stuff. And maybe someone can explain it better than I did and give us a little more, I guess, of an insight on how it all works.
Here's a tweet from a gentleman named Garrett Nakagawa, who sent a MarketWatch.com article that said, "What is NBA Top Shot? Everything you need to know about the digital assets." So I'll read the article and I'll try and get a little bit more into it. But it's somewhat confusing. Like, it's easy to say this guy's rookie card is worth this much money because the market has set it as such. But a small video of somebody performing is worth that kind of money? I don't know. It seems strange. Seems hard.
You know,
Brian
Windhorst did a story about this for ESPN.com last week, Greg. Maybe we should have him on at some point this week.
That's a good idea.
Sure.
And we could just talk Lakers and Clippers and basketball with him too. But, if we can get Brian on this week, he wrote the story for ESPN, so he would have a far better idea than I would. Mm. So there you go. There's a good reason to have Windy on. Not that any day is not a good reason to have Windy on to talk anything, but... all right, so maybe someone in the audience can help us as well, but we do appreciate the tweet that Garrett sent in as well. So I'm reading it, and it basically gives you what I told you for the most part. I don't think that there's anything in there that explains anything in more further detail. It's a pretty quick summary type thing. So it's just a digital marketplace. So there you go.
It's just like Bitcoin or Litecoin or any of those kind of things. It's just a something that's on your computer.
Yeah,
you can't,
and it
like,
uses
take it
blockchain
out it
technology.
Wall.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
Hey, look, this is hard stuff to explain. I mean, I'm really being serious because, you know, when Bitcoin first came out and when people started hearing about blockchain, the idea of trying to explain it, and by the way, there were very few people that really understood it or could explain it.
Right.
The difference between what a cryptocurrency is versus what blockchain technology is really set up and designed to do. And so, you know, a few years later, you're seeing Bitcoin be up in these astronomical numbers of like 50,000. And even that for many people is like, I don't get it. Where do I buy it? How do I get in on it? I mean, this is this is not exactly what you would call commonplace stuff. You know, you got to do your homework to get in on this stuff.
Well, right, because like anything. Don't you have to do your homework on anything you buy that is worth a lot of money?
Yes, yes. But in the case of this digital video thing that we're talking about,
And by the way, by the way, the NBA and its players union do get a cut of this.
Okay, well, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems to make a lot more sense. I mean, if you're going to buy a video of LeBron James slam dunking and there's only 10 of them,
right?
You can't, LeBron's got to get a piece of that pie and the NBA's got to get a piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
So there you
now.
Go. Yeah. Yeah. So Laura, if someone calls in to explain some of this, feel free at 877-710-ESPN and just let me know.
There's no chance anybody's calling in to give us any information about this because nobody knows about this.
Yeah, I don't think – maybe people in this audience don't know, but it is a big deal. Like, a lot of people are doing it. So I don't think – I think nobody is probably a little hyperbolic.
I would be – if I were a listener right now, I'd be calling. I go, yeah, I know everything about it. And then I just read to you that MarketWatch.com article and go, yeah, you see?
Right, but I could tell because I also have the MarketWatch story up myself.
Same.
So can kind of figure that out. I could sniff a phony a mile away. So.
Right. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah. J.J. Watt. To the Arizona Cardinals. We didn't get a chance to actually talk about that, and I wanted to talk about that. Let's do that in What You Need to Know, because I feel like that deserves a few minutes to discuss, and I think that there are real implications on what already is the toughest division in football getting a lot tougher. So let's get to that. We'll be back in 2.5 minutes.